But the everything we're going to do tonight, I'm very excited about the shiur tonight, because everything we're doing tonight is new. It's not in the Haggadah at all. One piece is going to be, you won't know which one. But, and when I say it's new, why am I excited? First, usually when you give a shiur, 90% or 90, some people 100%, they take it from somebody else. They read it, you know, and they give it over, and it's nice and terrible, et cetera, et cetera. This took, you know, every year they added pieces, et cetera. But most of it was, you know, you put in your own 10, 15, 20%. This year, I could tell you that it's 90% mine, I would say, picking from people need, and that's a lot of chutzpah. But I think it'll be worth it, okay? But I want to remind you about the four principles, et cetera, but one of the main principles of the Haggadah is, before we start, I should say, one of the main principles of the Haggadah is say ulamad. It says, go out and learn. Right? If you want to know what page it's on, I can tell you. What does it say ulamad? What do you mean go out? Do we actually go out? No. Then why does it say ulamad? And it's the only place it says learn. It doesn't say page 88. Why does it say learn? The whole Haggadah is learn. Right? Soloveitchik says it's a shir of Tarosh Baal Peh, the oral Torah, but this is one of the principles of Haggadah. The whole point of the Haggadah, especially for us, who've heard it 30, 40, 50, 60 times, and we have two times we were in Chutz La'aretz, 100 times, is that each time you hear it, each time you learn it, it should be deeper. 99% of Jews in the world go through the Haggadah like they did when they were 5 years old. They just repeat the words, they go through the motions, etc. What does Tzei Ulamad mean? Go out of the simple understanding and go deeper and try to understand. Now, what's the paragraph Tzei Ulamad? This is right here. By the way, it's written underneath. It's on page 89 and all this. But I want to give this a background. Why dafka this paragraph? Because this is the most one paragraph in the whole Haggadah that is totally illogical. What does it say? Who was the worst villain in Jewish history? Not Paro. That's what it says. You would think it'd be Paro. He killed babies. Right? He's Hamas. Amalek. Right? I said, what does it say in this paragraph? You look at me. Lavan Harami, the father of Leah and Rachel, was worse than Paro. What? Worse than Paro? He gave his daughters to marry Yaakov, who was homeless at the time. He never, and he gave him a job, and he became very rich. Laban's the worst. So why he's the worst in the Haggadah, we're not going to talk about, because you can read it inside. But the fact that Laban is worse than Paro, if you tell that to any person, they would say impossible. And that's what the rabbis are telling us. You can't understand the Haggadah unless you go a lot deeper, okay? So some of the things we're going to say today are much more deep than the simple pshat, especially because I spent, you know, whatever, 5-10 years on this. But some of them will be pretty simple. I'm going to start off with a very simple question that my 5-year-old grandson is going to say. If you had to ask what number is the underlying theme of the Haggadah, everybody would say 4. Okay, what are the five, there are really 5 fours, but what are the fours? If you don't mind, now it doesn't matter.
What?
Four sons?
Four glasses of wine.
Four glasses of wine, go ahead.
Four questions.
Four
in my heart. You're forgetting something else. You ready for this?
Wait.
It has to be on me, but it doesn't say the four seasons. Ready for this? 4 months. But the whole Seder, we're in 4 months, not 3 months. Except in the beginning, ready? Right?
By the way.
So you say 4. I'm going to disagree with you.
By the way, 50% of the time I did this is with a MacBook on copy.
Okay. I know by heart. Yeah. Page 4, line 5. Yeah. I just sing with Tamil Tarek is.
Right?
Kaddish. Right. On page 5, line 4. Mamish Tana. I knew this. Okay. Page 15 was Vahisha Amda. Now, the most important number in the Haggadah and it's maybe in Jewish life, is not, is, that's what I'm saying, underline, is not 4, it's 15.
No.
So you say 15.
No.
See, I'm saying, you're looking at the Sufis. I'm going to show you how 15 is the bedrock of not only the Haggadah, but all of Judaism. You say, this guy's crazy. Okay? Take a look. So I have my, why did I write it down for you? Not for me, I did it for you. Okay? So in the Haggadah itself, we see 3 15s. But it's all beneath the surface. Okay? There are, the very first thing we do on the Haggadah night is we go, and it's, we're supposed to say the words. There are 15 steps between the beginning of the Haggadah and the end of the steps. Kadesh Urchatz.
Okay.
It's not 14 the way people think, because Motzi Matza is really 2, and there are 15 steps. Okay. In the Haggadah. Right? How many Dayenus, the most famous song in the Haggadah?
15.
15. But what's interesting is, it doesn't just say, Elohot Siyanu Mimitzrayim, before it says that, it says, it doesn't say, Kama Midot Tovot, how many great things did God do? What does it say in line 2? Kama, if you want to see which line, which thing it is, Kama Ma'alot Tovot. I don't know if it's on the, in the Haggadah, or the, it says, Kama Ma'alot Tovot. How many great ma'alot? Now, what does the word ma'ala mean?
To greet.
It could be levels, right? It could be also, degrees. And it'll like tishim, shoshim ma'alot, right? You say it in modern Hebrew. It also can mean, so it's also 108, if you want to see what page, here. And it also can mean, different characteristics. Okay, so how many great characteristics? But the word ma'alot also means steps. Okay? 15 steps. The allusion here in the page 108, Kama ma'alot tovot, I wrote good things, but I took a translation that was, I didn't want to translate each thing. How many steps? Where do we have 15 steps?
At the Beit HaMikdash.
So the word ma'alot is an allusion to the 15 steps in the Beit HaMikdash, from where all the praise, this whole night is praising God for what he did. The praise of the Levi'im every day when they came and they said, comes from the 15 steps. Again, an allusion. So that's also 15. What else do we have 15? It says 15 Dayenus, okay?
Yeah. Right? We have 14. We have 2 Bishvat.
Correct. And we have 2 Ba'av. That's right. I'm just looking at how many 15 now. That's where we go. 15. Where else do we have 15? Anybody know? Again, this is also might be based. David HaMelech wrote Tehillim. How many chapters in Tehillim? They're not 15. How many chapters in Tehillim?
150.
Correct, 150. But within the Tehillim, there are from Tehillim, Kuf Chav, Kuf Lamed Aleph, right? There are Tehillim that all begin with Shir HaMa'alot, right? The song of
steps. Right, that they sang on the
okay.
Level.
According to what, this is why, take a look, that's why I'm telling you. It says the Gemara, this is the Mishnah says, source number 4, source number A, I didn't put a number because I wanted to do it, right? It says in the Mishnah, the Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot Olot Mitochal Ezrat Yisrael, there are 15 steps that the Levim did. Keneged Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot Shebedilim, everything is not accidental. When it comes to numbers in Judaism, because the world was formed through letters, right? What do I mean through letters? What's the second, the word that God says, Vayomer Elokim Hior, Vayior. It doesn't say God made the light.
Right.
God said the light. It's by saying words. So the words, which are numbers, this is how the world was created. So numbers are very important in Judaism. It's not just playing games of math. So the Mishnah says the 15 steps are the 15 steps of David HaMelech. Even though David HaMelech did not live to see the 15 steps, he knew there would be 15 steps. Okay? Okay? So that's 15. What else is 15? When you have, I give you the list here so you can go home and do it, and we're going to see at the end why it's so important. Okay? The Birkat HaShachar, in the morning, before you even start the davening, we thank God for 15 things that he has done for us, okay? And if you look, that after you do the 15, we say the Karbanot, and then we start with Mizmor Shili Yom Tlish, Mizmor Shili Chanukat HaBayit HaDavid, which is the beginning of what's called Psukei Zimra, the songs that we sing before we get to the Shema and Shmon Esrei, which is the one. How many do you think paragraphs there are in the Psukei Zimra? 15. Now, if I said each one of these alone, okay, we're going to see, progress. So we have 15 before Shema. What about right after Shema? What do we see? And it's very clear when you say the Shema, especially in the morning. It says, Hashem Elokeichem Emet. Then it says, Yatziv, Nachon, Kayam, Yashar, God is this, correct? How many? 15. Okay. Now we're going to see a little deeper. Watch this. This is interesting. By the way, I should thank, I have to be makir, Tov, and quote, I read this, a lot of this from a Rabbi Daniel Mann, who is living in, I think, in Teaneck. He read this. What's going on with the, is there something, it's still in aisle four?
Up north.
It's a what?
Up north.
Oh, if there's something happens here, what do we do?
There's
a mitzvah, but that's
it.
You have
go
a
out
basement
here and go down. Okay.
I go outside and just see what's going on.
Yeah, I go outside, take pictures.
Anyway, we're going to see something else that's very interesting. There's a Gemara that says in source 15, again, source A, under the 15 of Sivan Nachon, hopefully we'll finish in time. It's a very interesting Gemara. It says, I don't know if I should read it inside or not. It's an Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If a grandfather is a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, learns Torah on a regular basis, who beno Talmud Chacham, and his son is a Talmud Chacham, who ben beno Talmud Chacham, and his grandson is also a Talmud Chacham, says the Talmud, shuv ein Torah poseket mizaro liolam. That family will have Torah learned and will never be lost. That family will not be lost to the Jewish people. How do we know? Because we say this in the davening, Shneemar, Bani Zokriti, Lo, see along the Mar, etc. Lo Yomushu Mipicha, Umipi Zarecha, Umipi Zera Zarecha. The words of Torah will never be forgotten from your mouth, from your son's mouth, from your grandson's mouth. Amar Shemetah Babylon. God promises this to us. Now watch this. So on this, the Tosfot says, by the way, it says also, Achutam Shulash, Lo B'meira Yinatek, this is in Shlomo says, the knot that contains three parts cannot be broken. Okay? This is what it means. On this, Torah says, this is only true if the three generations learn together. In other words, not that there has to be a connection. If the three generations learn together, then their children, in other words, it's a guarantee. Okay, what's interesting about this is, and we're going to do a 15. I think you all might be able to figure this one out. We all know, I think, how old was Abraham when he gave birth to Isaac?
99.
He was 99 when he was told, and he gave birth at the age of 100.
Okay. Okay.
Sarah gave birth. Sarah gave birth in his natural manner at the age of 90, which is what Abraham would have. I mean, it's obviously miraculous, but whatever. Okay. When did Isaac marry and his children, Isaac marry and have children?
40.
The age of 40, if I'm not mistaken. But it says that he had children at the age of 60, okay? I think later on, children at the age of 60, which means, okay, he had children at the age of 60. How old was Abraham then?
Oh,
160. How long did Abraham live? That one you might not know. 175. So claims, a couple of little fortune, there were 15 years between the age that Yaakov was born till Abraham died, the three generations learned together. Again, that 15 being the glue that keeps Judaism together. We're going to see, going to go a little deeper. Okay? Let's go further. Guess how many words there are on the next thing. Birkat Kohanim, which is the blessing for the unity of the Jewish people as well as the Jewish family. Very good. 3, 5, and 7.
How did she come up with that?
Okay. Okay. Now watch this one. I'm going to come back to this one. This is also very interesting. It says, right? It says in the Gemara in Soto, Darish Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva learned, Ish v'isha, if you have a man and a woman who are married, Zaku, if they conduct themselves properly, especially in terms of the way they have children and have a family that is a proper Jewish family, Zaku, if they merit it, it says, Shchina b'neihem, God is among them. God is between them. I said this last week also in terms of numbers. Adam, man, a person is created. By the way, the word Adam is not female or male. It is not plural or singular. The word Adam is the gematria 45 of Av, Ein, and Echad of Adam. Okay, but besides that, let's go left.
3 times 15.
What?
3 times 15.
No, no, it's bigger than 15. Good. Now, let's go further. It says if they merit it, God is between them. If they don't merit it, Eish Achlatan, fire destroys them. Okay? Now, what does it mean? So all the Mepharshim say this is so obvious, right? If you remove the middle letter of Ish and Isha, the Yud from Ish and the Hey from Isha, what are you left?
Hashem.
Right? You're left with Eish and Eish.
Yud, Hey is 15.
Now, Yud and Hey is
15.
Well, we're going to also see Yud and Hey. This is the most important part. It's the name of God.
Right.
Okay, where do we see that? And this is also interesting. So next source, we say in Az Yashir, Aziv is Zimrat Yah, Yud and Hey, is God. Shmot Tetvav Bet. About 6 lines from the bottom of the day. Okay, we will sing the songs of Yud and Hey. By the way, we can say the songs of Yud and Hey is Psukei Dezimra. It answered a question in my mind. Why did they put Az Yashir in the middle of Psukei Dezimra? Because of the 15, I believe. Okay, Ahim Yeshua, Zekeli Bianveu Elokei Aviv Aharon Amenu. This is my God, and I will beautify him. The God of my fathers, and I will make him great. I will make him grand. What does they see here? In order, this is goes back to the previous source. This is the first time that they were recognized that the Jewish people is tied to not just what happened to us, but we're also tied to the previous generation. We talked about the three generations of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Jews in Egypt weren't aware of that connection. And therefore, the 15 that we talked about was lost. When they saw Yitzchak Mitzrayim, why did they see it then? They all of a sudden rediscovered their connection to their ancestors. It was the first time they ever talked about Elokei Avi, the God of my father. Okay? So without the Yud and the Hay, it's H, and with the Yud and the Hay, it's God, right? Now watch this. This is unbelievable. This is really unbelievable. This is the last one, but we're going to see it together. Okay, so now I'm going to stop. It's all very nice numbers. So why 15, why not 16? Why not 18? Right? Which is a very late development. What's so special about 15? Now we're going to see. It says, in the beginning of creation, after God created the world, second chapter starts off and says, the skies, the heavens and the earth, all of creation, was created when he created them. And the day that he created man, sky. Rashi on this says, okay, Rotel Shemayim Aretz, if it's hard to read the Rashi, I'll just read it very quickly. Davar acher behi baram, it says behei baram. God created this world with the hay. What it says? Shenemar, where does it say? Look at the very bottom line. Kibitchu v'Hashem adei ad, believe in God forever. Why? Ki beka Hashem sur olamin. God created the world with yud and hay. Worlds, olamim. Okay? Now watch what, you guys see what it says? 15. God created the world with the number 15. Okay? Rashi goes on to say, The Beit Otiyot HaLolo Balashem, with the two, these two letters, God created the world. Yatzar Shnei Olamim. He doesn't say what the letters are, but he said that the one letter is what? Behei Baram, God created. Hey, created this world. Sha'olam Hazen Nivra Behei, Rashi says. Okay? And then it says, V'Ha'olam Haba Nivra B'Yud. The next world was created with the Yud. Right? Now I'm going to have a little treat for the ladies. We believe that Olam Haba is a much more sophisticated, superior, spiritual world, much, much higher level. Okay? What does the Yud symbolize and what does the Hey symbolize?
Yud is perfection.
No, we just had it. Ish v'isha. What did we say?
Yud is man. Hey is
the what? The two? What?
Yud is the man, and okay. Hey is the woman.
Okay, I would say it the other way around. Sorry. Who runs this world?
Women.
The women. This world was created for the women. Behei baram isha. Men have to wait till the next world.
Don't say that.
The Yud. This world was created for the woman to run. Behei baram, the symbol of Isha. Right? The next world, okay, then you can deal with the men.
What's
going to
happen?
What?
When's it going to happen?
I don't know. That doesn't say. Yeah. Rashi didn't tell me. My point is, when we're talking about 15, we're talking about the bedrock of the world. Okay? We're not the bedrock of Haggadah. The world was created with the Yud and the Hey with the word 15. So 15 runs through, if you will, all of Judaism, all of this world, all of the next world. Okay? That's one idea, although we're not going to think. Okay. Let's go on to the next thing. Manish Tanag, you don't have to look it up, but it's on one page. I think we all know it by heart, and if you don't know it by heart, it's number B. Manish Tanag, let me follow that along. I discussed this last year on one level. I'm going to give a couple of other deeper questions and answers. How do we know it's not talking about a five-year-old? Again, to remind you from last year. This can't be a 5 or 10-year-old asking the questions. How do we know?
Well, the language.
What are the questions? By the way, which are never answered in Haggadah. Okay? If you take the questions at face value. The questions at face, why is this night different than all of the nights? This would never, ever be a question that a little child would ask. How do we know? What's the first question? On all the nights we eat fermented matzah. Tonight we're only eating matzah. How does a child know we're only eating matzah? How does a child know to ask that? Tonight we're only eating. Oh, it's the amendments from last year. Amendments from last year is not going to ask the question. Right? If you tell me he asks the question at the end of the Seder, I understand. Tonight we didn't have any bread. How come? But how does he know now? So this can't be a question that a kid is all of a sudden going to ask. Okay? Second thing, the same thing. All the nights we eat all the other vegetables. Tonight we're only eating maror. What did we do 2 minutes ago? We ate other vegetables. Celery, potato. So what are you talking about?
Potato.
We just ate another vegetable. So it can't be that we eat other vegetables. What is it? It can't be that. Tonight we're only eating maror. Where does he know maror from? Same thing, the third one. All the nights we dip twice. As if not at all. Tonight we're dipping twice. If he said we dip once, I can understand. We just dipped 2 minutes ago. But if dipped twice, how does he know we're going to dip in another hour? Okay. So it can't be. Same thing. Why are we leaning and not? It's not a child's question. Okay? And there are many, many answers. Okay? I'm going to give you, by the way, last year we talked about the word, it's not really questions. We talked about there have been four Galiot. These are all deeper understandings. There have been the rabbis who wrote this about 1,500 years ago, maybe. Was saying, why is this, and last year it's in here, why is this galut much worse than all the other galut? All the other galut were 200 years, 70 years, this galut's 2,000 years. Why is this galut, this Laila, much worse than all the, and what does each thing mean, etc.? Many, many answers. I'm going to do something that's a lot deeper, but I think it's also, it's worth the understanding what the Pesach night is all about, okay? Okay, in last week's parsha, it talked about the different karbanot, correct? The different sacrifices, okay? One of the karbanot that's different from all the other karbanot is the karban todah, Okay, what is the Korban Todah? The rabbi just said, let's say there's more the Todah, which is for the Korban Todah. He just said it before he mentioned Marek, but what happened on Saturday night? Right? In the history of the world, this never happened before that 300 missiles came down on any nation and nobody was injured. Forget about killed. I mean, think about it. In the history of the world, it never happened before that, and we're talking about since, let's just say, Civil War, where projectiles were thrown, John? Never happened before. Okay? And did you see the size of the cruise missiles?
Yeah.
Bigger than the shul. Okay? Yeah, but be thankful. Okay? How am I thankful you have to be?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what was I interrupting myself with? Okay, yes. The Manish Tanah, many different understandings of the Manish Tanah. So, the Korban Todah was brought in the Beit HaMikdash when somebody had escaped and was able to escape with their lives, which was not very common in those days. You had to escape. There were four reasons, by the way. Chayim, you can remember it. Right? What are the four things? Choleh, somebody was sick. Well, we do the bench gomel. Right? Those are the reasons. Somebody was sick. Somebody got out of prison. Somebody, which was very common then. Somebody went across the sea and survived. Again, not given. And somebody, and the mem is for midbar, went across the sea. And you brought a korban todah. What's unusual about korban todah is all the other korbanot are for 2 days, 2 days and 1 night, or 2 days, 2 nights, etc. Korban todah was 1 night, 1 day, and 1 night, and that's it. Okay? Also, what's different about the korban todah is the fact that the Korban Todah had, was the only Korban that had, not only, it had chametz, okay? Every Korban had matzahs, this also had chametz. Now, this is a very deep question. Think about this, okay? I'm good. Korban Pesach is also a Korban Todah. How do we know? Because it's also for 1 day and 1 night. You have to finish before the end of the night. And it's a korban thanking God for it. It has all the halachot of korban todah. Okay? One rabbi said the meaning of this, of the first question on a deeper level is Manish Tana Halayla Hazen Galayla. Why is this night of bringing korbanot different from all other nights? On all other nights, we bring a korban. By the way, okay. Chametz u'matzah. What does chametz u'matzah mean? So when you're reading it, you're not so paying careful attention. We say, usually, you can have chametz or matzah.
Oh,
right?
That's and.
Right? But the vav means and. How do you know? Because if you look at the fourth question does or. Shebechol ha'elom tanu ochlin bein yoshmin u'bein misubin. Either, you can't do both at the same time. We're leaning, or we're not leaving, or we're sitting, correct? Right? We're only doing it. So if you wanted to express or, you would say bain or bain, right? So this rabbi asked the question. He lived, I had it written down, he lived in the Amsterdam in the 1700s. He says, the question here is, on all other nights, meaning all the day when we bring korban todah, we bring it with chametz and matzah. Tonight we're bringing korban todah, Pesach. Korban Pesach, only matzah. Why? So he gives a very, if it's just that, I mean, it's an esoteric question, okay. So along came a rabbi in Miami, and again his own, gave a very interesting answer. What's the difference between chametz and matzah?
Oh, leavens.
Time.
It's time. I would have said my whole life I say time, because I teach, we've had a test of that time, right? But if you leave matzah more than 18 minutes, it doesn't become bread. You're not going to eat it. It's considered halachically chametz, and you got to get rid of it. You can't have it on Pesach. What happens to that matzah after 18 minutes? All of a sudden it blows up, it becomes the challah. That's not how it works. What's the difference between chametz and matzah? Listen to this answer. It's brilliant. If you only take what God provided in the world, which means wheat, water, take the wheat and you crumple it up and make it into a flour. And then into a dough. And you put it inside the oven. You don't want to get a matzah. Even if you leave for more than 18 minutes. Right? That's what you're going to get. What does man do? Man experimented, and this is true in every society. This is in every society that we know of, this is a staple food. He took yeast, right? And then experimented. Put a little salt, a few eggs, right? And all of a sudden, from that piece of cardboard, you get a delicious challah, or delicious bread, that we all love, right? I said, the reason I'm wearing this tie is because it's the same taste of matzah, right? Because, okay. So what are we saying? That if man takes what God gave and enhances it, that's the whole purpose in the world, our purpose in the world, we can make something really terrific and great, right? So all the carbon toda is a combination of man's efforts and God's efforts. You don't get out of jail just by waiting for God to get you out of jail. You have to try to get out of jail. And crossing the desert, you have to make the effort. You have to try to bring the food. And the same thing with all four, right? Sickness, you have to try to get better, etc., etc. Right? We're saying the answer is why it's not, there's no chametz. Because chametz shows man's involvement. Pesach is a night of only God. God does everything for us. Right? I have a friend who wrote something, I think I sent that to Ashkenaz, I'm not sure. Who wrote, it's a Saturday night, it's basically Pesach night. If you were sitting in Egypt, and the Egyptians said, we're going to kill you now, you're going to play with us, and they have the ninth plague, etc. But they didn't know if God's going to save them, they didn't know if the Egyptians are going to kill them, and they sat in their house all night. I don't think they had something ring that said, you know, and they certainly did not get a 4-hour warning that in 4 hours we're going to know if we're dead or if we succeeded in defeating the Egyptians, Iranians, right? We didn't know. And we waited and waited and waited, even though we didn't wait, but say, I eat the chipazon. And then we waited long enough, nothing happened. They said, okay, now we have to say shacharit, krei shema shacharit. Everything was fine, right? And they said, get out, right? Similar, okay? Anyway, but it was a night of all God. Okay? We're going to see that, why that's crucial.
Can you explain then why it says Chametz Umatzah?
Okay, because all of the nights when we brought a Karban Todah, right, you had Chametz Umatzah, because the reason that you became free or you were survived is because of man's input and God's input. But on Pesach night, it was all God. We stood in our house, and it was all God's actions. Okay? A little bit of style on Saturday night. Okay? And you buy the credit too. Okay? Okay. And I'm not going to go through each question because, like I said, we'll finish exactly an hour before the Seder if I continue. Okay? But, okay. Now, there are many, many answers. I'm going to give you another answer that I think a very simplistic answer. And we'll see why it's not so simplistic in a minute, in the following. The Barbanel says, what's the real question? The real question is, every other night of the year, it's clear what the symbols are, right? On Rosh Hashanah, symbol is the shofar. The shofar is about crying to God, it's a sound of cry. We cry out to God through the shofar. Many, many, you know, again, there's no one reason for the symbols. But on Sukkot, even though there's two mitzvot, it's all the same thing, that we're all together and relying on God, and it's also we're trying to make one unity within the sukkah, unity in the four species, etc., etc. So all these symbols of every holiday, including Hanukkah and Purim, very simple, we know the meaning of the symbol. But on Pesach, we're confused. Why? Because on Pesach, we have Manishtana. The first question is kulano kuklo matzah, right? So let's say the matzah symbolizes freedom, okay? Some say it symbolizes poverty. It symbolizes both, which is also confusing, okay? Then we have the mara, which definitely symbolizes pain, bitterness, etc., etc. Then we dip. Who dips? Free people who are, you know, again, you don't have to go back far. 500 years ago, nobody was dipping or 200 years ago, in the shtetl every night, right? You dip in a king's palace, right? They have enough servants that you can have, you know, you dip the whatever. And certainly reclining is a symbol of wealth. It's not, you know, okay. So the Brahmana says the real question is, we seem to be, and I'll come back to it, schizophrenic. Are we celebrating the slavery tonight? Or are we the freedom? Right? Which one is it?
Okay.
So the Brahmana says that it's both. First we have to feel the free slavery, then the freedom. But I'm going to come back to that a little bit more. I'm going to show you, this is again my own, but I want to show you how special this is. It's not a very simple answer, but dafka for this year. This has been bothering me for many, many years. Why this night is really so different. Go back to why it was so different. So if you think about it, man is not built to have both at the same time. Man is not built to, it's actually a disease called schizophrenia. If you do one minute the other thing, opposite, correct? Those
ADHD.
Of you who know,
right? ADHD.
Opposite feelings, opposite behavior, etc.
Split personality.
Okay? No. Most people in the world can handle, you know, maybe a week of celebration, then maybe a break, and then maybe a week of difficulty, of mourning, etc., or whatever. Every holiday, every culture has sad days, every culture has happy days, and they do it, but it's always separated, okay? That's in every other culture. In Judaism, it's not that way. You think about it, and it didn't start in 1948. Right? In Judaism, we have developed a sensitivity. I tell you when you really develop a sensitivity. Become a shul rabbi. And you gotta go from a funeral to a bar mitzvah, right? To a unveiling to a wedding. All on the same day. Right? Drives you nuts. Okay? If you're really feeling something for the people, okay. But Jews have had the ability, because of our history, and we're gonna see because of tonight, to be able to feel one after the other. If your tears are coming down your eyes, right, and I don't know who you are, you can either be tears of sorrow or tears of laughter. It can't be both at the same time, correct? Can't be, right? Right, but Jews have developed the awareness to go from one to the other very quickly. Okay? Where do we see this?
In Yom HaShoah.
I said, before 48.
Oh.
Five times during the year.
Five times.
Okay? Yeah, that's why I say it's my own Dvar Torah, but nobody has said this before.
Foreign, Yom Kippur.
Okay, wait, take one at a time.
Tanis, Esther.
The first one you said. Okay. First one you said, very good. Purim. We have that is put into the calendar. The day before Purim is a very serious, I don't know what to call it, sad, but very serious day. Judaism would have been destroyed, right? Right? Iran came and said, you're finished. Because all the Jews were in the 127 provinces. It's not like, you know, okay, we have something in America, something in Australia. That was it, okay? So when we celebrate the fact that we weren't destroyed, the rabbi said, set it up. How do you celebrate it? The way you celebrate it is one day, you can't cry because we almost died at the same time that you're getting drunk or that you're dancing. So therefore, one day for seriousness, say slichot, and you go immediately into Purim, correct? We have that ability where I think other people don't. That's one. Second one you said?
Was Yom Kippur to Sukkot.
The word Yom Kippur, the rabbi said, even though Purim was created after Yom Kippur, but I think it's based on it, Yom Kippurim. How is it like Purim? Yom Kippur is like Purim.
Mm-hmm.
In which way? Okay? In which way? I don't remember anybody getting drunk on Yom Kippur, except maybe last week's year. Right? What does it mean, Yom Kippurim? So Rav Soloveitchik says, the idea that Chazal did this on Purim comes from Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're supposed to have a chag. It's a chag like Rosh Hashanah, like Pesach, like Shavuot, etc. Correct? Where's the Su'udah Yom Kippur?
Before
it says the ninth of Yom Kippur, the Su'udah, is like the Su'udah, or is for the Su'udah of Yom Kippur, and the ninth has done many of the halachot without the malacha problem, without, you know, in terms of what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do, but it has the avirah of a chag. And therefore the ninth is Yom Tov, and the tenth is seriousness, introspection, not eating, etc., etc. Eating week, correct? So that's two. Where else do we have it? Once we have the thing, okay, so Susan mentioned, okay, that when they decided to have Yom HaAtzma'ut, which was, I believe it was May 14th of that year. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, they took the Jewish calendar, which was Heiyah, correct? When are you going to have the day of Yom HaZikaron? Every single culture in the world has a Yom HaZikaron, right? In America, it's May 30th. Well, it used to be May 30th. Now it's Memorial Day, depending on the day of the week. Right? Every Yom has a Yom HaZikaron. Obviously, for us, Yom HaZikaron, especially this year, has much more meaning because we remember the people who died. But when people died in Afghanistan or whatever, people took it very seriously. And every, you go to Poland, there's a Yom HaZikaron, right? In Russia for World War II, there's a Yom HaZikaron. When did they put Yom HaZikaron? For us, it was Rav Herzog, actually. The day before Yom HaAtzma'ut. No other country has Independence Day right after its Memorial Day. But we can do it, and it's part of our culture already. Two more examples, minor examples I'm expecting to know. I'm going to tell you right now. I hope we get it. No, where we have happiness.
It's supposed to be a chag.
It will turn into a chag. We'll come back to that. It's a very good point. You may go a little after, okay?
No, you can do it another
okay.
time.
Okay. No, I just want to explain this. Listen, okay? This is because it's all connected to what the environmental segment. Here comes the punchline. Okay? So, where are the two other times? Erev Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be, I've done a lot of research, supposed to be a much greater chag than it is now. Originally, each Shevet was supposed to have its chag, that's why we have 12, etc., etc. Now, it was supposed to be a big chag. It wasn't because of the Chet HaEgel, many, many other reasons. But the day before Rosh Chodesh, what's the day called? Anybody know?
Yom Kippur
Katan. Yom Kippur Katan. Many, many communities had a custom to fast and say slichot like we do on a fast day. Again, going through Yom Kippur Katan into Rosh Chodesh. And the next one is on Monday. What's coming this coming Monday?
Oh, the fast of
Bechorim. Before we celebrate the fact that the Jewish Bechorim did not die, but the day before, and we celebrate, etc., they could have died. They should have died. They deserved to die. And therefore, we make a fast day. Five times. Okay? Now we're going to see. There's one exception to the rule I said that people can't have both at the same time. On Pesach night, we are schizophrenic. We are both at the very same time. How do I know it's true? And why? Because Pesach night is not like any other night. How do I know? Now we can look at source number three. The Zohar says, tradition, I'm going to read it in English because the Aramaic is too hard. Tradition tells us that the night was as bright as a day in Tammuz. It was, I don't know if you mean here it was physically lit up, right? Here we mean physically lit up. Therefore, the whole Egyptian people could witness the mighty hand of the Holy One. The night shined as the day, the darkness was divided. The night of Pesach was not halakhically a night at all. That is why it is forbidden to say Hallel at night. Right? And yet, many people in the davening next Monday night have a minhag to say Hallel. How can you say Hallel at night? Because it doesn't have halacha of night. If it had a halacha of night, we would say the Shema. Why don't we say the Shema next Monday night? And for those of you who don't know, the custom is not to say the Shema about mitah before you go to sleep. Why? Too drunk from the Seder. No, that's not the reason. Okay? Take a look at the next line. Okay? The other line, Shemot Yudbet. God says this night is different.
Leal Shimu Rimhu, I am going to protect you. Usually night is a time symbolizing the fact that it's a time of unsurety. I don't know if that's a good word. Not being sure, of being scared, of not God's not present, etc. God says, I will be present. I will protect you on that night. Well, see, I'm here in Mitzrayim. Who? Again, it says it. Shimurim, God will protect us. Kol b'nei Yisrael zaratan on every single for forever. Next Monday night is not like any other night of the year, and it's not like any other day of the year. It has a halacha of day, and it has a halacha of night. Where do we say that? You should know where do we say that in the Haggadah, because if you don't, it means you have to sleep already. We say this in the Haggadah because it's towards the end. Look what it says in the Haggadah, the next one. Karev Yom, Asher Hu Lo Yom, Velo Laila. We say this, so this is towards the end, the last five paragraphs. Tonight is a night of no, not both day and night at the same time. Ram Hoda, we praise God. Kilecha Yom, Aflecha Laila. Tonight is night and also day. It's schizophrenic. How can it be day and night at the same time? Okay, that's what it means. That's qualities of both. Shomrim hafke l'ircha kol hayom v'kol laila. God protects his city, Jerusalem, all day and all night. Ka'ir, and we ask God to make this night, like we have it tonight, to ircha or yom v'cheshchat laila. Make it like this every single night. The goal of Judaism, which we can't experience fully, is to make Judaism like tonight. Now we go back to the Abraham Manel. What the Abraham Manel says is that on Pesach night we have the ability to feel pain and joy at the same time. To be schizophrenic, if you will. And that's why we have the matzah and maror at the same time. And we act like kings and yet we cry or whatever. Okay? Where do we see that interestingly? First of all, before we get to that, I want you to go back to source B. I purposely snuck it in there. Before we start the Haggadah, we say a phrase that has many different meanings, but take a look what it says. Source and B, if you want it in the parentheses. Hashta avde, l'shana hama b'nei chorin. Now we are like avadim, next year we will be free. We can't have both at the same time. Right? In real world. We can't be free and slaves at the same time. On Pesach night, we're both. Okay? We feel the pain of slavery and the pain of free and the joy of freedom at the same time. Now we understand something. Everybody knows that we do the last thing before we get to eat normal food on Pesach night is, what do we do? Everybody know? Well, they don't know because they're so full and they don't care anymore. They just want to get them to the filled fish, right? Or whatever, or the eggs, whatever. What's the last thing we do as part of the Seder before the end of the Seder? Before we eat.
Sandwich, a Rashi sandwich? Oh.
The Korah sandwich.
Very good. Last line in C. Zecher l'mikdash k'Hillel. Hillel had a custom. I wish he would get his due, and then all the McDonald's and all the thing would say, you know, anytime they say the word sandwich, it really should be that was the Lord's sandwich. He invented, Hillel invented the sandwich, right? He had a sandwich of, we would call it a maror sandwich, right? Since we can't have bread, we have two pieces of matzah, and inside the matzah is maror, right? Why do you do this? Why do you do this? Why do we? Zeichar l'mikdash. So it's to remember how we used to do it in the mikdash, because it says in the pasuk, matzot u'morim yochlu. You should eat it together with matzah and mar. Right? What is going on a deeper level? If matzah is the symbol of freedom and of joy, etc., eat matzah as you know, and mar is a symbol of bitterness. Hillel says you have to have both. Physically, on the Seder night, you have to eat the matzah with the maror. You have to be happy and sad in your mouth. Unbelievable, right? And that's what he's saying. We have to, and that's the aspiration of the Jew. It's like saying in the time of Mashiach, which is probably true, we don't forget about all Jewish history and say we suffered terribly, but now we have Mashiach, we're only on joy. We remember Jewish history. We remember the suffering. We remember the people that didn't make it. But now is a new time, and we can feel both at the same time. I don't know how to do that yet, but that's the goal. Okay? All right. We have about 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to try to get, we'll try to get to the end. Okay? I know this is long. I can do the little nice few pieces, but this is, to me, is very interesting. The next thing we're going to do, since you have the Haggadah here anyway, something which I have it, one answer in the Haggadah that I'm going to give you a different answer now, because I said it was going to be new. Where is it? Number four, blah, blah, blah. Where is it? You can help me. It's Yochol Mirosh Chodesh. Let me find it. It's on page Mitzila. I think it's right before Mitzila. Yes, 72. Okay. This always bothered me, it bothers me that it doesn't bother anybody else. Okay. The simple meaning. I'm talking about simple meaning here. Okay? It's going to come back to what we've talked about, the people who've been here before, some of the ideas we've talked about before. So that's why I put it in here. This occurred to me about a year ago. Okay? What does it say in the beginning of this paragraph? The simple meaning. Yachol me Rosh Chodesh. We might have thought that the Seder should be on Rosh Chodesh 2 weeks ago. Imagine you tell this to all the people who are having hotels. Right? You're going to have the Seder 2 weeks ago, but then you'll have Pesach 2 weeks later. Right? Then you go crazy. Right? The hotels. Well, it says, Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. We would have thought, logically, that you should have the Seder on Rosh Chodesh night. Now, what's the logic behind that? Come back to it. Talmud Lomar, the only reason we don't have it, logically we should have had it, it says, Bayom Ahu. Right? Because it says on that day, the same day that you have the Seder in Egypt is the day you should have the Seder in...
Wherever.
But that's every holiday. You never have a holiday 2 weeks before the day that something happened. On Shavuos you got the Torah. Mm-hmm. On Sukkot, 40 years, but I'm not going to go into why God did that, but Yom Kippur, we got Kapara, everything happened on the day. So why would we have Pesach 2 weeks earlier?
Everyone understand what I'm saying? Mm.
Because it says you have to have it on that day. If not for this pasuk, we would have it on the first day of Nisan. Crazy. Imagine having the Seder and then 2 weeks later having Pesach for 8 days, 7 days. Iba Yom Ahu, because it says you have to be on that day, Yochol mi ba'od yom. This would also make the hotel nuts. Really, you're supposed to have the Seder, you should have it during the day. Right? In the afternoon. 3 p.m, you have it. Right? Why? It has to be on that day. It doesn't say on that night. By Yom Ahu. Right? Why don't we have it on that day? It says, again, that's logical. Talmud Lomar, because there's another verse that says, Ba'avur Zeh. Because it says, because of this. Ba'avur Zeh lo amarti, elo b'sh... Why did I say Ba'avur because of this? B'shah she'esh matzah mora munachim lefanecha. You have to have it at the time that you eat the matzah and maror and korban pesach. Means the time that korban pesach is in front of you. Since the korban pesach had to be eaten at night, so you can't have the seder during the day, or you can't have pesach during the day. Now, you've read this more than once. How did you understand it before Hansel came to give you the great explanation? How did you understand this? You didn't. You went on, there's nothing talked about other places in the Seder, right? We're making no sense at all, correct? Now I'm going to show you it makes sense. Okay? I've said before that the struggle between in Judaism from the very, very beginning was that we think it's so obvious, is Judaism more a nationhood or a religion? Right? If you look through the Torah, God only promises Abraham, you'll have many children and you'll have the land. It sounds very much like a nation to me, correct? He doesn't talk to him about Shabbos, Kashrus, anything like that. So you can make a case saying Judaism should have been a nation from the beginning. He was slaves of the nation, etc., etc. On the other hand, God commanded us many, many things that seem to be man to God, right? A Erev Pesach, you should whatever. Shabbos, Laman, etc. Yes, quickly, because we're running out of time.
No, but the having the land and being the people is only based on that God gave it to us, which is the religious part.
Okay, but well, did God want us to live more culturally or more religiously? Right? If you ask the person in Bar Apoth, they'll say it's all based on religion, it's all based on Shulchan Aruch. Right? You ask somebody who lives in Tel Aviv who's not so secular, it's all based on the Torah, but the Torah is specific, but basically it's the land. It's, right? So I've said always it's both. Right? If we look at this argument and say this is an argument that's been going on for 3,000 years and I make a list in D a way we have to be together, you could make an argument either way. Look what you could say. What determined, what first determined that we were a nation?
Abraham.
What? Abraham was one person. He's not a nation. Mount promises. 70 people, very nice.
Oh, where's the
we went down, we're not a nation yet.
Where's the first place you said?
The first place you say a nation, you ask any culture, the first thing that they do is they set up a calendar. A group of people set up a calendar that's unique, that's already a nation, that's already a culture. A unique culture, correct? What was our first mitzvah given to us?
Rosh Chodesh.
When was it given to us?
On Rosh Chodesh.
On Rosh Chodesh.
Oh.
Okay. So the people who said that Judaism should be a nation, and not a nationhood that's important. So logically, then, we should celebrate the beginning of nationhood. When was that? Rosh Chodesh. Right? Therefore, that's when we should have had the Seder and celebrated the beginning of Judaism. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay? The people who said, no, it's a religion. What was the only religious thing that they did in Mitzrayim before they left? Only one thing.
Before they left.
Well, Mitzrayim, the nationhood, the Rosh Chodesh is also in Mitzrayim.
They baked matzah.
They didn't bake any matzah.
Oh.
The matzah, it didn't bake by itself. They didn't call it that. Let's bake matzah instead of bread, because it's more delicious. What happened? What was the one thing God asked them to do?
Korban
Pesach. The second thing says, no. If Judaism is more a religion, then it should be when the Korban Pesach is brought in the afternoon. And therefore we should have the Seder to do this whole thing. At the very, very beginning we became a religion. Korban Pesach. Now you understand. Okay? And it says, yup, there's a pasuk. The answer is no. It has to be matzah, which symbolizes matzah and maror, Korban Pesach and matzah and maror have to be together in front of you at the same time. Why? Because Judaism is a combination of nationhood and, right? The only time that it's together is on Seder night. Okay? That's how I understand this paragraph. If you look at source of the D, I'm not gonna go through it, but except for one thing. Every single time that nationhood is mentioned, it's followed by Jewish religion. Shalach et ami, let my people go. V'yavudu, okay? And I go, you can go further to the whole thing. Roots, amecha mi, v'elokai et elokai. Your nation is my nation, your God is my God. Etc. It goes throughout history. Okay? What's interesting is that what is always first? What is always first?
Nationhood.
Nationhood is always first. I'm going to show you something very interesting. And therefore, 1948 had to come before 1967, just as Heyer comes before Kafheyer in the calendar today. Now I'm going to show you something very interesting. One of the people that's going to go down, I knew him pretty well, not great, he's going to go down. We sing so many of his songs, and he's going to be remembered for all the songs.
Kava.
And it's Shlomo Kava, right?
Kava.
I'm going to show you something. Many of the songs that we sing today were written by Shlomo Kava, many of them by A.B. Rottenberg, etc. That's not the point. What I mean. I realized something. The greatest contribution that Kalbach made to the Jewish people 500 years from now is not his songs. Right? It's three words that he wrote. Am Yisrael
Chai. That's not a pasuk. He made those words up. Okay? In the last 6 months, you've heard the words Am Yisrael Chai more than any other words. Nobody knows where it comes from. We know it comes from the Kalbach made this song. Based in 1964, he sang it in Romania, which was really used for Soviet Jews, etc. But Am Yisrael Chai, interestingly enough, is the production of Kalbach. That's what will be remembered more about Kalbach than any other thing. All the songs, maybe hundreds of them. Interesting. What are the words of the song, the last line of D? What's the last line of D? Okay. Even Kalbach, when he made up the song, put the nationhood first. Why is it so easy for a secular Israeli to say Am Yisrael Chai? No mention of God. Am Yisrael Chai. Right? But Kalbach said, both parts are there. Whether he was conscious of it or not, Orach Minu Chai, our God is still alive as well. Not just the nation is still alive. So I just wanted to show that. You want, can I have 3 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to show you something that is in here, but you would probably never get to it. Okay? I'll show you something very interesting. We talked about Hallel earlier, right? Every time we say Hallel, we say the entire Hallel, except on Rosh Chodesh and the last 6 days of Pesach, we don't say, we take out 2 paragraphs. But we say the entire Hallel. We know the paragraphs of Hallel. You all know the songs. Some of them are Kalbach, some of them are not, etc., etc. Correct? On Pesach night, talking about schizophrenia, but crazy, you look at, you know, I'll show you the thing itself.
146.
Thank you very much. 146. I trust Alice. Okay? We start saying the Hallel on 146, just like we say in Shul. But Lana, we don't say the first paragraph, etc. Yeah, we say it like this. Same Hallel 48, 148, we say the 2 paragraphs. 150, like every other place. Hallel, etc., etc. Min HaMeitar. No, I'm sorry. Wait a second. Where is something? I did something wrong. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, I'm sorry. I trusted Allison.
I'm sorry. I just went to where
Allison. You made me, making me crazy. Okay. 122.
122?
Yes. What's the first paragraph of Hallel? Those of you who are lucky enough to say it, and every Rosh Chodesh, every Hachag, page 122. First paragraph of Hallel, as we say, Hallel. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Abdi Hashem, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Second paragraph of Hallel?
Tehillim
Yisrael. Third paragraph of Hallel? What's the next page?
English.
In English, okay. After the pictures and after English, so it's my page 126, we stop saying the Hallel in the middle. And we continue when? What do? We make a bracha, we drink wine, we go wash, we go eat matzah, we eat maror, we have korech, we have a full meal, and then on 146, Allison is correct. We continue the whole hallel. What the heck is going on? Why did the rabbi put it either at the beginning or the end? Understand the question?
Made a sandwich with the challah.
Correct. Why?
Why?
Why? Now I'm going to show you something very interesting. It may go a little more than 2 minutes, but I think it's only interesting. Okay? I'm going to show you something that is not known by many people. Okay? The word shir in Hebrew is
song.
It could be a poem. Song. Correct.
It's also in the mouth.
And what is shira?
Saying poetry.
No. What's the difference between shir and shira?
Pula.
Anybody ever think about it?
Group singing.
It's what?
Shira group singing? Singing
together? Maybe.
Shira.
He means
the hey.
No, same. Shira, you associate with group singing, and shira is in one song.
Can you say what's the difference?
But what's the difference in using? We're going to see in a minute.
Shira.
In Chazal, in Haggadah, which we never pay attention to, the word shir is always, is masculine, right?
So.
And the word shira is feminine. Okay? Shira is always for songs and praise in the past, and Shir is always for songs and praise about the future. I just gave you a... For that alone is where it comes to Shir. Okay? Now watch. Alison essentially is correct. The rabbis wanted the experience, and you know, to remember Mitzrayim and the Shema takes 2 seconds, and we do it every week, every day, and we fulfill it. To feel what we're supposed to feel on Pesach night takes preparation, takes a whole book, and how do we bring it into our daily lives, right? So it says basically the whole Haggadah, and with this we end, obviously, is all of Jewish history. Okay? We start off by saying, whether it's Avodim Ha'inim, Mitchila Odei Avodah Zarah, before Abraham they were, I would worship idols, right? And then, what are the first two paragraphs of Hallel? Go back to 122. What do they refer to uniquely? Right? Remember, Hallel is always a song of praise, thanking God for saving us. But in 122, what do they save us from? What did he save us from? What we got to do is read in, read very quickly. We thank God for, read again, okay, it's not clear in the first paragraph. Second paragraph, very clear. First three words? Egypt. 122, the two paragraphs refer to Egypt. God brought us out of Egypt. He raised us up. God, the whole world sang God's praise. It's Egypt, Shalom, and Mitzrayim. God took that. It talks about the God taking us out of Egypt. Okay? That was then. Then we have to thank God for what he did for us in Egypt. So the book continues. By the way, this is in the Haggadah. So 126, the bracha, we say, very quickly, we thank God for taking us out of Egypt. Asher ga'alanu means we have to feel as if we went out of Egypt. Right? Remember? God took us out of Egypt. And also our ancestors. And we came to this night, 2024. Let God create new holidays. New holidays are going to be something about Sinwar's body. We're going to make a food, right? Something like that. That we should make a holiday where we're going to come back to Jerusalem in the Beit HaMikdash, in your city. We're talking about the future. God is a cry to, if you will, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Then, in the future, we will have Shir Chadash, but then it goes back and says, Baruch atah Hashem, not Goel Israel, Gaal Israel. I mean, this is a hope that we will sing a Shira Shir Chadash, but we only thank God for the past. Baruch atah Hashem, Lachim Melech Olam, Baruch Yadav. Okay? So this is for the Hallel of the past. It's a filah for the future. We come back to the present. The present is, Stephen's going to eat a lot of maror and go, ha, ha, ha. That's the present. Okay? Okay, that's what page 130, 132, etc., etc. We eat the meal in the present. We grant, and now we go, what's right after the benching? Acknowledging the present more in this year than any other year, right? Amalek destroyed us on, tried to destroy us on October 7th. What's the first words that we talk about in the present on 142? No, we said hello already. We went and we ate the meal. Page 142, what do we say? Right? Spit on you, you goyim, for what you've done to us all these years. Right? So, you know, Dennis Prager always says every time they talk about the Isha, he says, he argued with his parents, and he said, the rabbis were wrong. After the Holocaust, you will never have Shalom Echad Bilvad El B'chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chalotenu. He says, in every generation they try to destroy us. How can we say that after the Holocaust? It will never happen again. And he says, and how I was wrong. This is now 142, you'd say, okay, this was written 1,000 years ago. Who cares? That's, you know, that's when they had to suffer. We're talking about now, 142. Okay?
and all the people that try to destroy us, may God destroy them. What do we continue then? 146, Lolanu, that Lolanu, is about the present and the future. The rest of Hallel is about the present and the future. How do I know? Now watch this. This is with this we end. Okay? We say Hallel. All the way Hallel on 154 is also Hallel. Nishmat is also Hallel, even though you don't call it Hallel. Then look at page 160. Okay? This is the bracha. This is the bracha that we say at the very end of that. We're in the present, but now we've come to the end of the present, if you will. I'm just reading it quickly. We're talking about the present. We have to thank God for all he's done for us to keep us alive, etc. About Shir Kadash. Okay? We're still in the present. And then in 162, I don't know where it is right now, but it says, what we end, Chasal Sidur Pesach Kil Chato. This is essentially the end of the Pesach, the end of the Seder. And we talk, then now we go to the future. Why do we put in your Lashon HaBa Yerushalayim now? Because we go from the past before the meal, present during the meal,
to the future.
Future Lashon HaBa Yerushalayim. And the rest of the Haggadah talks about what God did for us and what he wants us to do and how we bring about the future. And I'm not going to go through what we don't have time. Why we put in Hamiyodeya and Chadaya, etc., etc. But this talks about the future. So therefore, the Haggadah is really the experience of Jewish life. It brings us from the past to feel the present, and bring us from the present to try to feel the future. And if we are lucky enough, and we survive, if you want to call it nafshit, what's the word I'm looking for? not spiritually, but we're going to survive physically, but if we can survive the ups and downs of what we're going through and come out whole, more whole than we are, that's what Pesach is all about, to feel both at the same time and be able to come out more whole. I wish you all a good
Chag Shameach.
We meet again in 3 weeks from tonight. Some of what I said will resonate.
Okay.
Please return the Haggadah to the Bible.